In May of 2004, I was in my second year of seminary. Spring break came around, and since I had more time off from classes than Ashley did from teaching, I headed home to Pennsylvania a few days ahead of her. A day or so into my visit with my parents, Ashley called. We chatted for a few minutes, checking in on how our days had been and exchanging mundane pleasantries, when Ashley suddenly proclaimed she had something she needed to tell me. I figured something big had happened at school or perhaps with her family. "I'm pregnant," she announced. And thus I found out I was going to be a dad for the first time over the phone. Fast forward to the first few months of 2008, and by that time we were living in Sewickley, Pennsylvania, where I was serving as an associate pastor at my first church. Ashley was newly pregnant with our second, Natalie, and so we purchased one of those big sister shirts for Kylie to wear. And that is how we shared the good news of Natalie with our parents and other extended family. I can imagine many parents here can relate to the mix of excitement and trepidation that comes when you find out that you're having a child. So on one hand, we can relate to Mary. But on the other hand, our experiences pale in comparison to the story from Luke for today. Most of us know the facts by now. Mary was likely very young, in her early teens. Joseph was likely much older. They were engaged to be married, which carried greater weight in those days than it does now. And the marriage was almost certainly arranged. In short, there was nothing out of the ordinary in their lives before the events that are recorded here in the first chapter of Luke. Just two regular people expecting to live a very normal married life. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." And so, in the blink of an eye, everything changed. And the rest, as they say, is history. Mary's story, as it comes to us today in the first chapter of Luke, can be dissected into two equally important parts. First, the divine message delivered by the angel Gabriel. And second, Mary's response. We look first at the message. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And within that message, we find two compelling truths. First, Mary found favor with God, and because of that favor, had been chosen to bear the God-child into this world. Mary had found favor with God. But why? In the scriptures, Mary is described as thoughtful, obedient, believing, worshipful, and devoted to the law and to piety. But there is no indication that any of these are the reason that she is favored. Contrary to the title of the popular 1998 film, there is nothing about this Mary. Nothing that sets her apart as any more worthy of God's favor than anyone else. No royal lineage, no wealth or influence. And therein lies the reason she is chosen. The reason that she is favored. Because in choosing Mary, God is saying something about how God is choosing to act in this world. To choose the lowly, in order to humble the mighty, to turn the world on its head, a truth that will be echoed in Mary's own words in a few short verses. Which means that we better watch out, those of us who are not of royal lineage or in positions of great power or influence. For God set a standard in these verses that God was clearly not afraid to repeat. The disciples, Nicodemus, Mary Magdalene, you, me even, choosing the ordinary to accomplish the extraordinary. And then at the end of the angel's message, we find this gem: for nothing will be impossible for God. Now, I would imagine we would all agree in principle with this claim. Sure, nothing is impossible with God. But let me ask you, when was the last time you really believed that? Really believed that the God who chose to enter this world in the flesh through the womb of a young virgin from nowhere might actually be able to do anything? To change your life, to change the world, to cure that disease or even mend that relationship, bring everlasting peace even. One of the greatest truths in all of the Gospels is hidden right here under our nose in the first chapter of Luke. For nothing will be impossible with God. Are you ready to believe that that is true? Better yet, are you willing to live your life as if that is true? One of the more popular sacred Christmas music pieces these days is the song "Mary, Did You Know?" Written by Mark Lowry and Buddy Green in the early 90s, the song has been recorded and performed by countless artists and sung in almost every church over the years. Our own Kylie had a solo as part of her school chorus's performance of that song just this last week. I remember the first time I heard the song sung by the church organist of my childhood church. I was mesmerized by the melody as well as the message. Though I do still love the song, I can't help but question the theology, because that's what us pastors do, you know. Especially in light of verses 46 to 55 of our reading today. If you read those words carefully and you take them to heart, then it does seem that Mary did indeed know. I even quipped to my father the other day that if the song were to be more biblically accurate, it would be far shorter. Mary, did you know? Yes. The second part of our reading from Luke today is Mary's response to the news of her divine pregnancy. Verses 46 to 55 record a song that Mary sung in joy and gratitude for the news that she had received. Named the Magnificat, it is one of the most beautiful pieces of Scripture in all of the Bible. And it is remarkable and often overlooked, at least in Protestant traditions. Sometimes called the gospel before the gospel, Mary's song gives us a glimpse of the true substance of Jesus' life and ministry even before they begin. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. It's a world turned upside down. Some would even argue that these are the most revolutionary words ever spoken. Then Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple, even instructed his missionaries never to read these words in public lest they start riots and unrest. This is how Mary responds to the news that she is to be the mother of the Messiah, and it is beautiful. As William Barclay notes, there is loveliness in the Magnificat, but in that loveliness, there is dynamite. Are we not to respond the same when we too are called to be bearers of Christ? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Are we not also to sing out, praising God that we too have been chosen and blessed and favored? My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Though of humble birth and lineage, Mary was no fool. She knew that to be favored of God did not always mean sunshine and roses. And as one commentator notes, to be chosen by God so often means at one and the same time a crown of joy and a cross of sorrow. The one she bore into the world would most certainly find this out in the cruelest of ways. Yet this humble young woman, this nobody from nowhere, chose to embrace her call. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. And friends, the Lord still calls, still needs courageous men and women who will say, here am I, when the time comes to bear Christ into this world. In this Advent season, the question remains, how will we respond? For nothing is impossible with God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.